You can feel it, can't you? Something shifting, something breaking through. This isn't just a voice, this is a signal.
Up walls inside your mind so you would never truly find. But in the silence, in the space, there's something time cannot erase. A quiet knowing deep and slow, calling you to take control. No more waiting, no more doubt. Welcome to a St. Thomas show, where the truth begins to glow. Not above and not below, it's alive inside your soul. This is where the veils come down, where the lost are finally found. Hear the call, it's time to know you're alive on a St. Thomas show. Every fear begins to break. What was hidden comes to light. Day emerges from the night. You don't need a crown or throne. You were never not your own. Every answer that you seek lives within, it's yours to speak. Feel it rising. Feel it now. Welcome to a St. Thomas show, where the fire starts to grow. Not a whisper, not an echo, with the truth you came to know. Step beyond the old control, take it back, reclaim your role. This is where your power flows, right here on a St. Thomas show.
Salutations. This is the St. Thomas Show. I am St. Thomas. You can call me Arrow. And I come to this earth to participate in human experience. I was born just like you in a human vessel, and they wipe my memories. So I was born without remembering who I was. I didn't know. And so what I'm bringing to the table is how we get to remember who we are, and together we are creating a new earth in peace. That's my mission here, is to participate in the facilitating of earth in peace. And I'm not bringing a guest on today. I am so excited to bring a co-host. Rob, are you in the house?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
I love the opening music. Did you like it's it sounds like the custom made.
It is by
Yeah.
Don and an AI computer.
Okay, perfect. I
Yeah,
was gonna
he
say, I
even.
was like, that's like I was like, did you find this?
Yeah, it's spot on, right?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, he wanted to give. Sometimes I said, so I'm always thanking him for that song, and he wants to give some credit to AI. And but I've talked to him at length about how to use a computer and how to use this AI, and he's a master at it. He's really good at really honing in the right way with that computer. So it's a working relationship with these new AIs that we're all learning. That's how I see it. We're all learning to use this new AI in a friendly and compatible way. But would you like to, if our audience today would like to get a hold of you, is there information you'd like to put out on how to reach you?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel and I usually supply an email there as well. So if people want to reach out, I don't check it as often as I should, but I try to every once in a while. Sometimes I forget about it because it's not my main email, but I try to keep it separate so it doesn't get lost in other things. But I can share that after the show if you wish.
Sure.
Yeah,
Yeah, because I
put
think
links
we're
up.
going to put it on the page. I right now, if somebody wants to email me, right now there are email contacts on my sister's show, which is the alternating Sunday show at the same time, noon central on BBS. It's a project review with Q&A, and there is some email addresses there if you want to reach me. I've been answering some questions. I've got people emailing me there, but we're gonna get, but I think both of our emails will end up putting on this show's page. Also, it just I'm real inspired with the questions coming in. It's real helpful. The other show is a call-in show, so people are welcome to call in. But sometimes we're just a little bashful, and I'm surprised that people are really sending in some questions, and it's really fun and inspiring to answer some of these questions. So
Yeah, that's
I want to,
amazing.
yeah, it's great. They're
Send questions,
coming.
send questions.
Yeah.
We all have questions on this journey at some point, and so I think it's really wonderful that people do write in, and it's important.
Yeah. And we just, I forgot my thank yous here too. So I want to thank Don and Doug at BBS Radio, 100% our technical support. Thank you to Sheila, the production manager. She's in the house today. And thank you to the subscribers and listeners. Your support is golden. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I have a song today because I just wanted to, this is my Christian show. I like to write this show to my Christian sisters and brothers. My heart, they're in my heart. And I know there's a lot of information coming out, like this movie we're all talking about, this Jupiter Ascending. It's hard to digest that we weren't born on the earth and we were seeded here and then we're raised as cattle to be fed, right?
Yeah,
Was that hard for you?
it's a tough one to swallow, and it seems like no, that can't be. And you think all these things, you think it's oh, it's just sci-fi. It's but when you really start understanding how things operate, it's a process. It's a process. It takes years of kind of like processing it, I guess, is the best way to put it, right? Because it's gonna seem so outlandish and it can't seem real, but then you really start catching on and things start happening in certain ways and you start catching the glitches and you start coming to that awareness, and then you say, oh, geez, we've been so lied to here.
Yeah. So just and so this isn't the topic for the show, but it's just a little disclosure, and it's a catchy little tune that talks about rapture. So that's my disclosure term for today, is rapture was really an alien feast, maybe the alien harvest of us. So this is a catchy little Blondie tune of the 80s, but I'm going to sing, and I encourage you in the future, Rob. I probably didn't come here with the song today, but if you ever want to sing, you got the platform now.
Oh, geez. Well, thank you. I don't know. I'm just used to doing it in my shower at home.
Right. Okay. Well, I know. Cue my brother prompt. He's the one got me doing this. So, all right, let's do it. toe to toe, dancing very close, barely breathing, almost comatose, wall to wall, people hypnotized, and they're stepping lightly, hang each night in rapture, back to back, sacroiliac, spineless movement, and a wild attack. Face to face, slightless solitude, and its finger popping 24-hour shopping in rapture. And you don't stop, sure shot, go out in the parking lot, and you get in your car, and you drive real far, and then you drive all night, and then you see a light, and it comes right down, and it lands on the ground, and out comes the man from Mars, and you try to run, but he's got a gun, and he shoots you dead, and he eats your head, and then you're in the man from Mars. You go out at night, eating cars, you eat Cadillacs, Lincolns too, Mercurys, and Subaru, and you don't stop, you keep on eating cars. Then when there's no more cars, you go out at night, and you eat at bars, where the people meet, face to face, dance cheek to cheek, one to one, man to man, dance toe to toe. Don't move too slow, 'cause the man from Mars is through with cars. He's eating bars, yeah, wall to wall, door to door, hall to hall. He's gonna eat 'em all. Rapture. Take a tour through the sewer. Don't strain your brain, paint a train. You'll be singing in the rain. Said don't stop to punk rock. Well, now you see what you... What? Ooh, well, now you see what you want to be, just how you party on your, just have your party on TV, because the man from Mars won't eat up bars where the TV's on. Now he's gone back up to space, where he won't have to hassle with the human race, and you hip-hop, and you don't stop, just blast off. Sure shot, because the man from Mars stopped eating cars and eating bars, and now he only eats guitars. All right. All right, that's my little blonde version.
Woo!
I want to back it up because what we are going to talk about is Jubilee. Jubilee is what we celebrate. This is for us. This is because we're ascending. We're breaking. To me, the Jubilee is a personal take, and so I claim the war is over because. The war's over for me. I'm not attacked. I've owned fully my vessel. No one has control over this vessel. No one has control over me, any of my bodies, whether it's energy bodies, my light bodies, all my bodies. And so we celebrate. The Jubilee is where we find our heart's expression. We find who we are. And we start expressing. And there is a wonderful song that I'm not going to sing the whole song. It's just a line here. And this is one of my powerhouse singers. Most of my songs are female, but this is a man, A.V. Kaplan. And he has such a deep, beautiful voice. But he has a song called Change on the Rise. And he sings, fend off the enemy, sing out the Jubilee. With all the fire we can breathe. And it's a powerhouse song for me.
Check it out. What's it called again?
Yeah, it's called Change on the Rise.
By somebody Kaplan?
AV is A-V-I.
Yeah.
Kaplan. Yeah, he does some good stuff too. And I just love that. I don't know the name. What's the low bass tone when we sing? You know the names of those tones, don't
like
you?
Like tenor?
Is tenor the lowest one?
I don't know. I mean, there might be something lower. Oh. I don't know. I think Pavarotti is one of the tenors. So unless there's something lower than Pavarotti, I don't know.
I think you're looking for baritone.
Baritone?
Is it deeper than tenor?
It's deeper than tenor. Bass and baritone, I'm not sure exactly which is deepest, but I think it's baritone.
Tenor sounds familiar, like somebody said I was tenor. I'm not the high-pitched girl. I'm a lower pitch. I'm not the lowest, but I'm not the highest. Anyway, okay. We'll get some emails from some music scholars that know what I'm talking about. So what I do want to talk about is how we are creating, and we are the creators. And what are we creating? How do we are always creating, But this is the becoming aware of our creating. So as we start seeking ourselves, Sheila, since you're already in the house, let's start with you. There's a quote that I love from you. You said, "We all have our own song to dance to," which means it's all our own personal journeys. And you had a lifetime lesson. Is that something you could elaborate with us?
A lot of the messages I say come out in poetry, but I've recognized that they are messages to me. And so it's a reminder to me to dance my own song, sing my own tune. I have a tendency to go to teachers and try to get answers from teachers. Tell me what you want me to know. I've even discovered in the last week that, hey, I'm acting like my spirit is my teacher. And so I've stopped getting answers because it's kind of like, no, you're supposed to find the answer. Spirit's looking to me to find the answer, and I'm looking to Spirit, just give me all the answers to the test, man.
So is that what we call go within, right?
Yeah.
And you know, for me, to begin a journey, I did look out, you know, I was looking for those teachers because like I would be attracted to something. I could see like maybe somebody around me would handle a situation and they handled it so calmly, or man, I would have been off the charts yelling and screaming. I would have just lost my cool. And so I would be attracted to that person that was able to remain in peace and remain calm. And so but now that I have the awareness of me, because I have been going inside, I can see that they just had a quality of expression that I was seeking. Like I wanted more of that. So it is okay to kind of reach out to teachers per se. And I'm going to use, since a lot of us know Shane, I might reach out to him and get his take on something. But I found that he's not always right for me per se. He's right for him. I don't know if he's right for him. It's just not my judgment. He says, this is how it is for me. And I just accept that. But then I got to go within with that information and determine, discern it in my heart, is his information, because there might be some helpful nuggets in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah. You know, when you reach out to the teacher or you reach out, like, how did you do that? How do you stay in peace? And some of them, I had a lot of fear in my life. And somebody told me, you know, that Power of Now, that book came to me 20 years ago because somebody, her and I sat down. We were in 12-step. I'm in a 12-step recovery group. And I sat with this lady and we discussed I became aware I had a lot of fears. And she said that reading this book, Power of Now, really helped her. So I tried it. You know, so I try things that other people suggest. So for Rob, how do you look at, like, do you reach out to other people or get other information from other people or go within, or how does that digest with you?
Well, I think that there's a natural tendency to have to search outside of ourselves when we're raised in, you know, you're trying to reach a Christian audience, and I was raised Catholic for many, many years until I decided to leave. And so you're like, if you're sitting in a church, when I was raised in a church, and it's like, I remember just being, you know, an 8-year-old kid looking, and I used to get in trouble because I would ask everybody, I think I've mentioned it on not this show, but other people's shows, that, you know, have you ever met God or Jesus? And have you ever met God or Jesus? And nobody had met them. And, you know, and I used to joke that it was like, well, our parents always told us not to talk to strangers, but then they want us to pray to two people we've never met every night. And I was like, isn't that like talking to strangers? So seeking this validation of things from an authoritative figure outside of ourselves is so deeply ingrained into our society that you might already have the answers. It's just that you don't trust them. So it's not that you're looking. Sometimes when I look, whether it's a book, whether it's, you know, now it's not really so much books or teachers or anything. But we're seeking validation that, yeah, this is what I thought too. But like where I grew up, people don't believe that. So sometimes we're not looking for the answer itself. We're looking for confirmation of the answer we already know to be true. But it's like we're creatures that are born into, families and cultures and societies. So we seek that validation from outside, even if only to relate to ourselves, to say, yeah, that's how I truly feel. But anybody I ask, they don't have the same opinion. So when we're looking for somebody, it's nice to have that validation of, yeah, this is how I've felt in my heart, but the people that are around me don't feel the same way. So I think that it's a natural thing, and it's not, and then you get to a certain age or point, or maybe we'll say, maybe it's not age, maybe it has to do with conscious awareness, where you just really start trusting yourself. It's like, yeah, well, I know that deep inside, I don't need to seek external validation because I'm my own authority now, and it comes with, I think, like we human time, if you want to use that, but I think it's natural. And so now you get to the point where, okay, you don't need to seek outside anymore, but it's totally natural because it's not, it's it, nobody, did you grow up where people told you the answers are within, or God is within, or source is within you? No. So then that,
Right.
we can't really, beat ourselves up for looking with, without, so to speak, because it's just so pervasive in our society.
I think for me, the danger is I call it collaboration and I call it communication with others that help me understand something better just because it's a different mirror to look at. But then I ask spirit, okay, tell me what to do next. No, Sheila, you're supposed to figure that out for yourself. Okay. But yeah, collaboration is, that's what we're here for, as far as I'm concerned, to learn from each other in one way at one level, but then take it from our creation from there.
I know, Sheila, I have a question, but you kind of already gave a little nugget to it. When you and I had talked about this, we all have our own song to dance to. It was mentioned to you, you said your lifetime lesson was be my own teacher. And then, so my question was, well, okay, how do we do that? And you kind of mentioned some poetry, like you're saying, well, I write poetry, but it's to myself. So is that one, that's one way maybe that we might be our own teachers, outlets of expression like that.
Yes, I think so. All it poetry is what it is. It's all in how you read it. So some,
It's a nice outlet.
it's just sometimes it gives me very, very stark visuals as I go. And other times I get more questions. And the questions bother me.
On the subject of collaboration, one of the ways that I find have found my own answer over the years, these 12-step programs, I had a sponsor, and I'm very, very positive that my very first sponsor was a spiritual attunement with me, and she was very good. She never told me what my answers were ever. And really what it was I could just call her with, because especially in the beginning, she was my first sponsor. I would just go blah 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 blah. I mean, I just, man, I was just blabbing and blabbing, but she would let me hear myself. And that's what it was. And sometimes she would repeat back to me what she heard me say. And then maybe I needed to explain, no, that's not really what I meant, but that's what I was blabbing. Or, but I could, she helped me to become aware of the things I was saying and the things I was thinking and the things I was feeling. And I'd never had that inner, like I'd never turned that me, that like a mirror, but instead of looking outside and always judging others, of course I never wanted to judge myself because I was, had all those old tapes of worthless and piece of crap and all that yada yadas. But she helped me to become aware and observe my thoughts and observe what I'm saying. And today that's golden because now I know I'm creating the reality around me at all moments. And I can see how I'm creating it through my talking, my thoughts, my expression of feeling. So it helps to have a trusted friend that isn't going to repeat my blah, blah, blahs, but maybe somebody that doesn't want to take on the role of having my answers. My friends in my life today, they are just there for a sounding board. They are just listening. They might have a little two cents about something in their life, but you know, I used to reach out to people that wanted to tell me what to do or fix me or have my answers. And I just, those people just don't exist in my life today.
And
Thank you.
you know what, it's good that you said that, because I found, and it comes with the process, as I said before, as age, and you just really start saying, like, if you start trusting yourself and your spirit and, you know, your divinity within, you are your own authority, then that's when it becomes easier. Because if you start doing things that other people recommend or that they say to do, and it might not be right for you, but you're just taking their advice and doing it because they said to, and it doesn't work out the way you thought, or that, you know, maybe you had something in your heart and they told you to do something else and then you did it, but then you're going to become resentful to that person, because it's like, well, I did what you said and it didn't work out, you know. And it's like, well, because you did it half-heartedly, knowing that, you know, what they told you to do wasn't really what you wanted to do in your heart, but you trusted them because they're successful or because they did something that, you know, it's like, why do we ask others? And so when you get to that point where it's like, now I catch me, like you were saying, Arrow, like catching yourself, being aware of your thoughts. Recently, I've gone through a few things in my life. And, you know, before, you know, even just 5 years ago, I would have called my brother, I would have called one of my best friends that day. And, you know, just even just perpetuating the story, I'd be like, can you believe this? I can't believe it. And then, and it's like, it, but you're just creating that self-fulfilling prophecy. You're just adding, first of all, you're bringing them onto your timelines. And it's like, I don't want to do that now. And so I went through something and I just went through it alone. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't ask for opinions. I didn't share it. I didn't, it's not that I'm hiding it from them. It's just, it's not relevant anymore. And it's like, I don't care to, like, when you really start understanding timelines and what takes our life force energy, what's worth bringing up. I realized that I have my old tapes playing, and it's like, if I go tell this person, I have to retell that story to my brother and then to my best friend and then to my mom or whatever it is. And it's like, I don't want to waste my precious life even just telling the same crappy story that happened to me yesterday morning three more times this weekend like I used to. You know, it's like my time is of so much value that that's compartmentalized now. That was yesterday. I'm on to creating something new. It's, the issue is still there and it'll get resolved or not in the process, but it's not part of my reality. It's not on, you guys mentioned plate and the emails. Whatever you're, wherever you're shining your light, whatever you're looking at, that's what's on your plate. That's what your, you know, your point of power is always in the now. So it's like, something that happened yesterday, why am I going to invite it back in today? Why bring up dead ghosts, you know?
I like it. Yes, old tapes too. When you said old tapes, and that, I became aware of those old tapes. And then, and we always talk about commands and clearings, and I've cleared some old tapes, and just, and then, you know, sometimes when I become aware of my thoughts, now that this awareness starts, it's really easy to start getting upset with myself, especially when I'm on the journey and I start making some headway, and then I resort back, right? I find myself, oh man, this is that old thing again, and here it is again. And I'm going to plug a for the people I've got. There's one article that she wrote a little bit back. So, but I want to make sure I put in where the source of this stuff comes from. It's forthepeople.space. And if you put /fly-free, it's an article called Fly Free. And she says many people beat themselves up for certain choices or experiences when it's often not who they really are. It's what they inherited. So we also know about this DNA thing, and we've inherited all this. You know, my grandpa lived in World War II, and there's Private Ryan, Finding Private Ryan, or that movie. And there's
Private Ryan, I think it is.
Saving Private Ryan, yeah. And the opening scene is where they hit the famous beach, and it was a slaughterhouse. And when my grandpa went to see that movie, and then he told somebody in my family who passed it down to me and said that was real for him. That is exactly what he lived through. And that's a slaughterhouse. And to know that that kind of trauma, that kind of experience, I was like, I've never been in a war. Oh, well, okay. Well, how come throughout my life I've had war dreams? Well, because it's in my DNA, it's an inherited thing. So getting into my heart, I don't have all of that inheritance. That's mind stuff. That's recorded tapes in my head. That DNA is recording tapes in my head. And the more I practice these commands of dropping from the heart, the mind to the heart, and getting in my heart, bringing back all the light force energy now, doing those commands, my heart starts overriding my head now, which used to not be the case. Right, that mind used to just run the show. And these commands I'm finding in my experiences today, I laugh because my head tried to say, okay, well, it'll be all right. I'll go ahead and do this. When my heart was like, nope, not doing it. And it overrode what I chose because I was given into the mind one day. And then it's like, I just have to laugh. It's like, good man, it's good to know that my heart's, overriding my mind when I'm not even realizing it. So.
And you know, it's a good point that you made about what the article said about not beating yourself up. I found that on this journey, it was, I read The Power of Now. I think it was this around this time, actually, in 2021. And it really helped me get through because that's during the pandemic. And I had a big falling out with my family and my brother who I was living with. And I felt very alone. And I hadn't really connected with anybody else yet, kind of on this journey. But I was like, I know that, like, I was searching and it's like, and I know, so I did The Power of Now, but then it's like, well, why isn't my life working? And you beat yourself up, you get, it's really easy to slip into mental movie making, like Eckhart says. And that's tough when you're going through a really bad time in your life and you can't see the perfection in where you are, or you think it shouldn't be happening to you. It's easy. It's difficult to be in the moment, but it's very easy to start daydreaming and envisioning a better future. And not that that's a bad thing, but when you get stuck in it, always, fantasizing about a better, you're not in the present moment, right? And so it's easy to beat yourself up when you realize how easily we get sucked into drifting into mental movie making or thinking about the past. But now I just laugh. Like I'll be, I was just sweeping and just before the show, and it's like, I don't feel like hearing the vacuum cleaner today. It's too noisy. I just want a peaceful day, so I'm going to sweep. And then I'm in the middle of sweeping, and all of a sudden I just realize I'm not present anymore. I'm just sweeping over the same spot. I'm daydreaming about something. I'm thinking about next weekend, and I'm not in the present moment. And I just started laughing. Like, you're gonna start being more playful with it. It's gonna seem frustrating and infuriating at first, but then you're gonna realize that you spend most of your life doing that. And so at some point it just becomes a game, and you just start laughing. You're like, man, they got me again. I got sucked out of the moment, abducted into thoughts about next weekend, and so it's just practice. It's so difficult, but it becomes so easy at some points, right? It seems difficult,
And
but it's just practice.
practice and learning to laugh, because like that's what I just heard the moral of the story. But God, the beginning of that, what you just said is this going alone thing, because every single person that I'm getting personal with on this journey, we all have these stories, which is where we started, be our own teacher. But then we find ourselves alone with it. And there is some difficult moments in that. And there's a lot, it brings up, man, so I can do a lot of bawling and crying. What I find when I let myself, I don't stop the waterworks. I don't stop it. I let it flow, because after the waterworks, that's where the cleansing is experienced. Like it's removed from me. It's cleansed my vessel. I really invite, if I've got some emotional attachment I need to let go of, or something is getting shedded from me, I let the bawling out. I let the crying out. And I can't be doing that at work with other people, or out at the ball game, or that's alone time. That's alone processing. That's the going within. And I just let that crap out and be cleansed. So it's good. And I know Sheila, I think Some I can't remember what it was, Sheila, when we did our last show and I got off the show. I can't remember if she texted me. I think she texted me and I felt like I hadn't talked to her this week. I hadn't, we didn't have our, we usually have a production meeting in the middle of the week and we Zoom together. And if we have guests, they come on with us, but we didn't have our regular Zoom meeting and I hadn't talked to her all week long. And then I was just like really like missing her. Like, wow, I didn't get Sheila in my life this week. And so what did you call me and say to me, Sheila?
All I remember is I texted you and said that was a wonderful show with a lot of heavy stuff in it and thanked you for it.
Yeah, but then you called me to tell me why I was feeling you.
Oh, yeah, because I was going through some stuff that I knew I needed to go through alone. And I didn't feel like dumping it on anybody because actually, because Spirit told me, no, do not phone a friend. Do not reach out to anybody.
Yeah.
Don't
That's
ask if.
like I'm glad you just mentioned that, Sheila, because that's the most difficult thing. And it's not taught in our society. Like, and Arrow, it's good, like, because you mentioned the 12-step program, which I think is great for certain people. I battled with addictions and alcohol and other drugs, and I decided that it wasn't for me. But I have family members who've gone through it. But it's still even so much that you have that sponsor, you know, and I had this argument with, not an argument, but we'll say a heated debate about something about it. Because, you know, they're like, well, why don't you go do this program? And it's like, because I need to be dependent upon myself. I need to go within for the answers. And this was before I found like Ron and Q stuff, right? Like, I just need to do this on my own. I don't need, like, I've spent my whole life having friends or family as crutches or as sounding boards. And I was like, I need to go within, you know, and because I found myself on other people's timelines. I almost, I'm for the first time in my life at 42, I'm really understanding what it's like to be me. You know, I've rescued friends and family or other members, and I say rescue, but maybe I'll tell that story on a later show. But I was actually a surety, which a legal surety for one of my friends who was legally had to live with me. And so, you know, I was always on other people's timelines, it seems, and now I'm on my timeline, and I need to do it on my own. I need to. I don't like Sheila said. I don't need to call anybody. I don't need to bring anybody into it. I just need to sit with it. I need to go for a walk. I need to go. Whatever it is, and I need to just be with it and figure it out for myself.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing up the 12-step program is not for everybody. Part of the program, the traditions, is that I don't come out into the public view and announce that, but I can't not announce it because it's my story and it's not for everybody. And I'm so glad you brought that up. You know what, mostly that program, what I know today is I couldn't talk in front of a crowd of people. I could not be doing this radio show if I didn't have the training ground of going to a meeting and learning to talk in front of people. I mean, I couldn't. My very first meeting I go, I knew I was alcoholic and I knew I had serious drinking problems. So I finally went and it came around my turn and I said, my name's Shelley and I'm alcoholic. And it's my first meeting. It was gratitude. And I said, oh, I'm grateful that I made it to my first meeting. Well, the whole room clapped. And what they did was I was so flipped out. I had, if I'm in my mind, it's this program that's solid of stage fright. And I left my body. And the only thing I remember is that my voice was squeaky. I couldn't talk. And then I passed. And when the person next to me started talking, I literally couldn't remember what I just said. And I just said it. I was like, it was so out of body experience. And I couldn't talk. And I always thought it was the funniest thing. My first AA meeting, I didn't want to be sober like that person. I wanted to talk like that person. I had this incredible desire to talk like those people that could talk.
Yeah, and you know what? It's true that, like you said, it's not for everybody, and that's the thing that I had the conversation with a family member who's going through it, and like they were trying to get me to go to it, and it's like I'm not bashing it, but if you're gonna ask my opinion about it, you might not like the answers, and it, like that's what I said. It's like first of all, I'm like it's very disempowering where to say that you are something, to I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have a drinking problem. For me, it's the solution. I have a problem with other things in my life. I didn't know that it was maybe DNA and entities and addiction things, but it's like I always knew deep down inside that I don't have a drinking problem. I have unresolved trauma that I need to sort out. And so that's the thing. And I always found it interesting, and I always thought that I know people who have 25 years of sobriety, and that's amazing for them. But they haven't overcome it. It's still blocked energy. And like Ron Amitron used to say, and I agreed with it. So the first time I heard him say that, because I said the same thing, I was like, where's the 13th step? And he said the same thing, because you should be able to, otherwise, you have blocked energy your whole life. And there's that restriction where it's like the 13th step to really, truly overcome it, to love it out of your life, is you should be able to have a beer without any energy on it. No, it's no thing. Otherwise, you still have blocked energy towards it. You haven't overcome the drinking. You still have it, and that's what I said to the person. That they I was like, you still have a relationship with alcohol. It's just different now. Like that. So you're still in a relationship with alcohol. It still has massive control over your life because you haven't overcome it yet. Because you still need to go to meetings all the time. If you're overcome it, I feel that it shouldn't be an issue in your life. Because I don't want to go to meetings every week, and I know that it has power, and I don't. I'm not. I hope anybody listening or yourself, that I'm not knocking it, but it just wasn't for me. And this is just me explaining why it's not right for me. It's like I lived through so much crap that I did. I don't want to go listen to other people's horror stories or repeat mine week in and week out. And I get that it's a support group for people, but it's like I want to sever that relationship with alcohol. I still have a drink here and there. It's still not for me. And usually, if I have one or two, I'm like, ugh, I remember why I stopped, but I had to overcome it. I had to like ensure that I can walk through a liquor store now. I can go to parties where people are drinking. It's my choice whether I want to have one or not, or two. I don't like it, so it's my choice. But it's a choice where it's I don't want to be like I'm an alcoholic, because I'm not that. That's just labeling something. As soon as you say you are something, it's another identity. The ego loves identity, right? So then you can say you have this story that I'm an alcoholic and all of this stuff, and it's like I don't want to be that. I'm not those things. I'm not going to start t telling myself I am, and I'm not going to start doing this program because I'm not an alcoholic. I have unresolved trauma, and I have to figure out how to solve it for myself.
That man, because we all have our own song to dance to, and we be our own teachers. This is so good because. I still identify as a recovering alcoholic, and I don't go to meetings. I've 30 years in these programs. I don't go because I need to. I go because I want to. So see, I have a desire, right? And so it's something that works for me because I still have purpose there and I still have desire. And that's what's so good about this information for me is we're not anybody's guru here. We don't have your answers. All we're doing here is expressing our own truths. This is my truth, my reality, my experience. And Rob gets to share his truth, his reality, his experience. And Sheila gets to share her truth, her reality, and her experience. And so that's my encouragement to everybody is to go within, do that inside work, and find your truth. I mean, you might pull pieces from all three of us, but you've got your own reality and your own truth within you. And that's what I guess I'm encouraging today. I think this is a great, great conversation. I'm loving this completely. How about I want to throw in Asha's. So Asha's the author at For the People. Space. Ooh, I've got some small writing. I'm going to grab my glasses on how
It's
I
the
wrote this.
10-minute warning, I think.
Yeah. Oh, is it? All
Yeah.
right. Ooh, thanks.
Time
Thanks.
flies.
I never see that stuff. Okay, real quick. For the people dot space, fly free. We've been told our DNA provides the instructions for our body's genetic inheritance, but what we're not told is that inheritance is far more than the physical, every trauma, every heartbreak, every accident, every war experience, every pain, betrayal, humiliation, illness, and horrific life experience, as well as the positive is all passed down to us through this DNA coding in our minds, becoming more potent with each generation. And there's a command. I command my spirit to bring all of my light back to me now. We say these commands three times, and then we count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 now. Great, great author, great website, lots of information there.
I love that
Oh, that's one of my favorite articles for me.
website. It's
And
the only
so,
website I visit anymore, really. Like, it's just
yeah,
when I need updates, it's
yeah.
like I know, oh, she just speaks my language, and it's like my go-to for stuff, right? And that's handy.
Sometimes she's writing to me, just like how when I'd turn on a Q show and listen to Q on Saturdays, I thought he was doing the show right for me. I thought, wow, if he has a million listeners, he's got a million different shows because this one's for me.
It's funny the way things work like that, because I've had several synchronicities where it's like I was talking to a friend about something, and then the next day for the people dot space posted, and like I think she even thought it was like, are you part of that? Because I was like, no, I swear
Yeah.
to God, I don't know who, Asha is in real life or anything like that. It just is totally synchronistic. And I told on another show too, there was this one morning, and this is the way, so you were talking about how we're creating a reality, so I'll share this because this is from today. And when people really start seeing the synchronicity, you become so much more aware of what you're thinking and how detrimental negative thinking is, or even just you think, oh, it's preparing for the worst. I got to be diligent. I got to, plan for the, hope for the best, but plan for the worst or something. But this morning I woke up and I was thinking about, okay, my brother's coming next weekend, and it's his birthday. Should I have a birthday? Should I decorate? Should I this? Should I that? And then I go for a walk to the grocery store, and I'm walking, and I was like, Spirit, which way do you want me to go? And I closed my eyes, and I'd just taken a few steps, and I felt pulled to the left. So I was like, all right, let's go to the left. And as I'm walking down the alleyway behind the grocery store, I see something up ahead, and I just start laughing because I was like, oh my God, I know what this is. And on the fence, I don't know why, there's foil balloons, foil helium balloons, and they say happy birthday. And I was like, that is so that like you just can't write this stuff, but we actually are writing our reality. And that's what we have to understand, is that, like you said earlier today, to circle it back, is that we're creating every split second of every moment. Like, there's no time we're not creating. And I would go so far as to say we're not just creators, we are creation itself. We're not, and we don't understand that like we are creation. And so that's how powerful, like the fact that, so back to the For the People dot space article, I was walking, and I might have told it on Sunshine Show, but I was walking through a field one time, and I was again asking spirit, and I come up to these two hula hoops, and they were placed, a green and a blue one, and they were placed directly over each other, like they probably just fell like that, but it looked like somebody placed them because it was the perfect vesica Pisces, the two circles intersecting. And then when I got home and I fired up For the People dot space, there was that was the symbol at the top of the thing, and I just started laughing, and I was like, it's amazing how synchronicity actually works in our lives when we're really, really paying attention, right?
Yeah, when we start observing ourselves and observing how we're doing it, and then I observe that I'm pulling to me the people coming into my reality, the things they're doing, the things they're saying is really it's my reality that it's happening. So I'm pulling all that into me. And when you were talking about doing chores, that's another thing where I would drift off in my mind because who wants to think about the dishes while I'm doing the dishes? But I do now because I want to be in the moment. So I'm like, oh, this beautiful vacuum, and I'm going swish forward and swish. It's just like trying to just stay moment in what I'm doing. So beautiful dishes, and look at how clean and shiny this dish is, and what a beautiful spoon, and what it's just trying to stay moment because that doing my chores was one of my drifting off times for sure. So just presence and grace. We didn't bring up grace yet. There was a time I heard you on another show that you said just have some grace with yourself and have grace with other people because we have a whole world of being frustrated. And I used to just kind of live in a state of frustration all the time. I get frustrated about that and frustrated about this and just remaining in peace. Peace is always my goal. No matter what's going on, just remain in peace. And if I feel fear festering, like if something's happening around me and I feel myself kind of, you know, that elevation, that stomach coming up, I can go, okay, I'm going to get excited. Instead of fear, I'm going to transform it. It's a perception shift. Instead of writing that timeline out in this fear that just started to, like, I got to catch it in the beginning, right? Before it attaches in the brain. But if I catch it, I can just immediately switch to, man, I just can't wait. This is a big adventure. I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know how this is going to turn out. And I just can't wait and see, man. I'm so excited, so excited. So just a little perception shift is helpful for me.
Yeah. And it's really, like, I'm glad you brought that up. Because what I was working with this week and playing with is that it's really easy to, I guess, or it's difficult sometimes to distinguish what's between the heart and in our mind. And our mind can, like, the mind is very tricky, right? And so the example I had at work was this week was I was trying to be in the flow. I'm like, I just want to be in the present moment. I just want to be in the flow. Don't worry about what's going on. And I'm like, okay, today I'm going to hit it because it's a fairly new job. I've only been there a month. And I'm like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to, like, you know, get this done with time to spare. And it's going to be my most efficient day. And then whew, as soon as I get out there, I get pulled over by the police. And I was like, are you serious? So I get pulled into the Ministry of Transportation for my new job. And it's just a standard check or whatever. It's not a big issue, but it took an hour. And so I was behind an hour, and then I'm getting frustrated, and I was like, oh, and I kept telling myself, just back to the moment, just come back to the moment. And I was actually got through the day with time to spare, even though I was set back an hour. So it was like I was in that divine flow naturally. And then another day where I was trying to be in the flow and I was trying to do things efficiently, I was like, I got to do it like I did the other day. And things just weren't going right for me. And because I was in mind energy, which when you're trying to do something, that's mind energy. Peace energy is flowing in the moment. You don't have to try. You don't have to try and be efficient. I ended up losing my wallet, and then I had to go, you know, luckily they found it and they kept it and everything, but it's because I was trying to be efficient. Whereas when you're in source energy, you're in the flow, you're in peace energy, you don't have to try. It's just everything's coming to you. Like, you're in that trust. You don't even have to ask your spirit because you're connected. You're just in the flow.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna take turns doing some wind down stuff. I want to wind down how to stay in the flow. This is another for the people dot space. To me, I have exercise because these are exercises. How do we stay clear of the maze? One, live in the moment. Peace makes that much easier. Two, stretch or soak in a warm bathtub. This is by Asha for the people. Two, stretch or soak in a warm bathtub each night with peaceful healing music. Three, breathe deeply and move within throughout the day. Four, forget about the world and responsibilities during your rest time and experience the infinite now and the peace that exists there, bringing that into sleep and the next day. Five, be outside in nature as much as possible. Six, living outside of time in the now, in peace, in nature, in your heart, with excitement about life will basically make you invisible and uninteresting to the controllers. I'm going to let Rob finish his closing statement. And then Sheila, if you have a closing statement, I'll give you a turn in this. Rob?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, because it's kind of to wrap up everything in our that we've spoken about today, is that, and you mentioned about me saying about have grace with yourself and with others, and just realize that you mentioned DNA. So every cell of ours has everything in it from our whole lives and all of our ancestors. So we're dealing with so much crap. So go easy on yourself, go easy on others, and just bring it back to the present moment and laugh it off if you can, and realize that when we get upset, when we get angry, when we get emotional, it's okay. Like you mentioned, you have to release them. And but there's going to be a certain point, like for myself, there gets a certain point where I'm like, no, this isn't getting me anymore. I take a deep breath and I'm not participating with that emotion anymore. It's like a final time, right? Like, it's not getting, when you realize the value of our life force, and how important it is to us and to keep it within ourselves, then you realize that all those energetic leaks and everything, they're just not worth it anymore. So just go easy on yourself and easy on others, and realize that everybody's got this crazy script called our DNA and this crazy storyline of their life and the stuff that they're dealing with that we have no idea, and you have no idea about your own. So this is the time that it's really, like, as you mentioned earlier, to just have that grace with ourselves, because there's so much that we don't know that we're working through and that other people are working through. So there's no point in getting upset. There's no point in getting frustrated anymore, because it's you realize that the value that little bit is more, you're actually just contributing to it again. So just do your best and understand that it's complicated and it's a process, so go easy on yourself.
Yes. Sheila.
I want to thank Errol and Rob for your contributions. I'll leave it with just this. I encourage people to sing whatever song comes to mind. If the words don't quite fit, make up your own. If the whole song is wrong, make up your whole new song. And it doesn't matter how it sounds because you're the only one hearing it. You can find an empty house and sing in the shower all the better. That's it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, listeners, find us. You can email us or next Sunday, noon central, Project Review with Q and Arrow. It is a call-in show, and you're welcome to call in and ask any questions there too. All right, BBS, that's a wrap for us. Love, love,
Thanks,
love.
everyone. Thanks, BBS.